Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Find the Maxis. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, one of my co-hosts is already here. Yay! Hello?
Hi, AJ. It's your semi-faithful co-host, Karen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's great to be here.
I see over the weekend you were jet-setting again.
Well, if you call Montana jet-setting, but yes, I went off to Montana to a music festival. I think you might have seen that I got stranded in Denver and slept on the airport floor, which wasn't ideal. But I had a great time at this great little festival in Missoula, Montana, and I'm back and maybe a little bit behind on things I'm supposed to be covering for this podcast, but mostly caught up. It was great.
Jamie's here too. Wow.
Yes, Jamie's here. Welcome
Hi, Jamie.
Back. I heard part of what you said. I'm just getting out Excedrin, but I'm listening.
You know what I'd like to say to start the podcast tonight, you guys? I'd like to wish a happy birthday to David Duchovny, who is 58 years old today. 58, 54, something like that, they said on TV.
I don't even remember anymore, which is sad. Probably
I feel like David Duchovny is partly responsible for us being here today, because if he hadn't made the X-Files, which really is the show that maybe set Jamie down the path of becoming a journalist, an entertainment journalist, we would
true.
Not be here today having this podcast.
This is true, technically. All right, well,
so,
happy birthday to David then.
Happy birthday. So, hi, Jamie. Welcome.
Hi. Hi. I knew you were saying you just got back, so welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back. I've been like really burning the candle at both ends these last couple weeks, and it's nice to be here and do something normal with you guys.
Relax.
Yes, relax. Sit on my couch and talk to you guys.
Yeah, and watch lots of TV, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, where do you guys want to take it from tonight?
Well,
why don't you guys start with Winona
and
Killjoys?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Now, did you say you saw both of these, or you didn't see both of them?
No, you know what? I saw Winona. I fell asleep during Killjoys, in part because I watched it last night when I came in from the airport at like midnight, and I was really tired. And also, it was, I thought, rather not the most exciting episode we've ever seen of the show. It was a little boring. So I can talk about it a little. I don't care if you spoil it for me. Let's start with Winona.
Always start with Winona, yeah. So Winona was just, I think, really sad just after last week, still, thinking about dolls dying, which was horrible, but, you know. But I don't know, this one was, to me, a little slower, I guess. Like, it didn't seem like really, I don't want to say nothing happened. I mean, stuff happened, but it didn't seem like there was a big, I don't know how I want to say it, like a big plot point of, like, the bad thing going on. Did you feel like that, or is it just me? It just seems like it was more like a post-episode to be sad about dolls to me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I appreciate that they gave dolls, like, they gave dolls a send-off, and he was an important character, and so he didn't just die and they moved on. But I thought, like, nothing happened, and I thought, like, when his friend from his old, like, black badge unit came, I kept expecting there to be some kind of a point and that he would be bad or that he would give them some information or it would be some sort of pivotal thing to the plot. And in the end, he just hung around for a while and then left, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I guess the main bad guys were the Revenants, who, although I think it was interesting, it was my understanding that they became Revenants because they took that serum and it somehow did that. Is that how you took it? Because they were, or were they supposed to be Revenants that were after the serum? I don't know.
No.
I wasn't sure about that.
They were already Revenants, and they went after the serum because
they thought
if they could become as powerful as dolls, then they would be able to kill Winona. But they didn't know that the serum. They didn't know that the serum didn't work, right? Like, because they just saw the serum and grabbed it, and they didn't know that it was actually like faulty serum that didn't help, dolls at all.
Okay. I was just trying to remember. I guess that shows how much I paid attention. I hate to say that.
Well,
but
yeah. No, because
that
there
was kind of what I feel about this episode, because it, like,
yeah.
The, like, normal revenants that we don't even know their names or who they were isn't really a good villain for
yeah.
the episode. Like, they were kind of like a side story. And I agree with you. I think it was nice they kind of gave, you know, Dolls that time. And, I mean, there was the plot with her getting the photo from him and, you know, with her being mad and Jeremy and all that. But it wasn't really – I don't know. It feels like there was all B stories. Like, there was no –
yeah.
So that's what I feel
about. The main news was like not even the B story, but like the C story. It was with that vampire woman who, like, she Thok's wife. What? Like, all like that was
yeah.
all like.
And that's what I have a problem with. Was my other concern.
With Thok having
a
wife. Yeah.
No, I mean it's not so much concern that he had a wife. I mean, that can happen, and I'm okay with that, and it could create another triangle or whatever because Dolls is gone. But the fact that he, like, slept with her at the end when he's been totally in love with Winona and they're upset about the baby and everything, like, that was just stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I like the show, but I do not agree with that turn. I mean, not that I'm happy Dolls died either, but, you know, I mean, that's my relationship on the show that I like, and it seemed very, very, to me, out of character. Not that he wouldn't have before, but, like, right now at their point in time, it felt out of character because of everything that just happened. He seemed to be, you know, getting back closer to her. I mean, I know she was like, well, she loved Dolls too, but I don't know. It just didn't work for me at all.
I hear you. He spent a lot of – so I agree with you. Doc was a – you know, he's 160 years old, and so to find that he had a wife might not be that surprising, but – he spent a lot of time, like, with his arms around Winona, comforting her in this episode, and it did seem that they had gotten closer, and I felt like her grief over Dolls in this episode was not just about that she was in love with him, like, romantically, but he was her partner and was so important to her and gave her this job and kind of saved her. They saved each other's lives. So many, like, there's so much more going on there about her grief over him, right?
Yeah, I mean, she might have had feelings for him. I don't know if I feel like she loved him. She may have at one point, but I don't think she's
yeah.
in love with him anymore. I mean, that's my take on it. I guess she could have been.
Okay.
But
I think we both agree that her grief is more involved than just like, here's
that.
A man
yeah.
that I loved at some point, right? But
yeah,
she's been getting, like, it did seem kind of like, I was like, oh, Doc has a wife, this is going to be good. But then he, like, slept with her. I mean, I guess I understand that she's a vampire. Did she glamour him?
I don't think she's supposed to have glamoured him. I'm assuming they have a choice if they can. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but she didn't seem like she was a bad guy, I don't think. I think
right, yeah.
She didn't. I think she probably had a choice whether she turned him or glamoured him. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that, to be honest.
I didn't think
I
of it until
I
said
the word. I would like
I didn't
to know
think
what
of it
the hell
until
up
I said
with
the
their
word.
Metal teeth they had, though. Because I thought she doesn't have them now. And that was the other thing that confused me. Like, I think her name's Kate. They gave her a completely different name. I didn't even realize at first it was the same person for sure. Because they called her something different. And
she gave
yeah.
a different name when she, her name, like, she gave a name, Caitlin or Kaylin or something, when she stole the purse, which makes no, like, I don't even understand now why she stole.
Like, nobody knew her, so what was the point of that? Yeah,
like,
that
why
was
the
other
did she
thing.
Steal
what
the
was the
purse?
Point she stole it? I didn't know if it was to cause drama or it was just, like, you know, something they shoehorned in for the plot. That didn't
yeah, she
really
stole
make a
Waverly's
sense.
Purse and then she gave it back, like, right? What was that?
Yeah.
Made no sense, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless it was, I don't know, I'd say maybe to help Doc, but I don't see how in any way that would help him, so no, I take it back.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right.
So that was a little.
Well, yeah, so
yeah.
there you go. That was it.
No,
and
the only thing was,
who, like you said, he was just a good guy, pretty much.
He
and that
came
was it.
And went. And then also
yeah.
there was that thing where Nicole confessed that she remembers the Bolshar massacre and how she doesn't really know how she got away or who saved her, which I guess is still the big mystery, but come to find out that
okay,
she and Doc
okay.
had this, she and Dolls had this secret, awesome friendship and mystery going on that nobody knew about.
Yeah, which is kind of a little out of left field. I mean, I believe that they had
mm-hmm.
they knew about the case and that was a secret, but yeah, it kind of seems like they were like friends that nobody realized they were like close friends. So I don't know. That was
yeah.
sort of, I mean, I can believe it, but it just seemed kind of like, what? You know, like it came
yeah.
from nowhere. So
yeah, there's some
oh, and then
stuff
there's
going
the thing, of course,
that
Waverly's father didn't get her a burial plot, which I think is horrible. Even if she wasn't his real daughter, like, to be like, oh, no, I just got burial plots for my two daughters. I don't want you buried near me. Like, that was horrible.
It's horrible, but I feel like there's probably more to it. Like,
I'm sure there is, but
like, as much as they're pushing like that she's not an ERP and all this stuff, like it's gonna come to find out that she's either an ERP or that there's more going on here that we don't know about, right? Like, I just feel like, do you think her father was really that horrible? Unless it turns out that she's like part Revenant that we didn't know. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I think if they did that, that would be kind of dumb. just because they already did that, like when we got the reveal that the other one was Revenant, which we haven't even seen. And then she did use, I still want to know how the hell she used Winona's gun, but that's neither here nor there. So,
yeah.
We'll see. Oh, and the other thing I do want to say about Winona Earp, I did not know this, and I'm sad I didn't even know it, because apparently it was announced at the convention, but and I know you don't care, but just for people who are fans of Winona Earp, Funko is finally making Winona Earp pops, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, do they not make them. Pops?
No, not for Winona, they hadn't, but people had made custom ones, and they've been like fans have been like begging for it for a long time, so it's pretty cool that they are, especially because this is like a sci-fi show, you know. I mean, it's popular for sci-fi, but it's not like a, you know, mainstream. Like, I wouldn't think the ratings would kind of like hit with the bigger shows. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think it'll be neat. I will definitely get that. So
cool.
Okay, well, that's it for that.
All right.
Now for Killjoys. I kind of agree with you. I don't know. Maybe it's just tonight. I know it was kind of the same thing. Stuff happened, but I kind of agree. It wasn't like, I don't know. It was a little slow in certain parts as well, too. There were certain things I really liked about the episode. I liked the interactions between Zephyr and Pip, and I thought it was funny. I found out they were sleeping together and didn't even know that, unless I missed that before somehow. But I was surprised. But I thought their scenes were cute. But I mean, a lot of it was just kind of a continuation from the last episode with these in the sense that, you know, Johnny's still, hulling Johnny and trying to, get his green and, they'll say he's trying to get away. And you know, she was able to trick them, but it wasn't, again, I feel like there was still sort of wasn't that big plot point or something. I don't know.
This might be sacrilege to say, but I thought Johnny was a total Hull and Johnny is a bore. Like, I feel like they played the Hull and Johnny thing for some laughs last week, and I feel like I was a little bit like every time Dav rolled his eyes and looked like he was so freaking sick of Johnny, I was like, I also am so freaking sick of Johnny. Can we please advance the storyline and like get? I don't know. I felt like he was just like a little bit of a one note. It was so obvious that he's trying to get the green, and he was like, I don't know. I found him.
Yeah, it was obvious. I mean, it didn't bother me though. I mean, I thought he was good at it, but yeah,
he
that's
was
what
good.
I
mean,
saying,
nothing
like,
against.
Not
I mean, nothing against the actor, but I found him.
They didn't have
a little bit of a
do.
Bore. No, and the same joke over and over again. After a while, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, he's hauling Johnny. Can we like, you know?
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good Johnny, I guess.
I'm not the hugest fan of Hallucination Dutch either, but I get that.
You don't
like
any hallucinations
like,
or dreams and or visions. We know
I
that.
Don't ever, right? I don't. Yeah. And I understand that represents like Johnny's conscience basically, right? Like
yeah.
the good part of
yeah.
Johnny that's not Hullin yet is in there like trying to get out. And I get that. But yeah, you know how I feel about hallucinations and dreams. I'm like, come on, that's lazy. You have a story.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was good. I just didn't necessarily think the episode stood out. I said, kind of like Winona, it's like there. I mean, they still had per se the A storyline or whatever because it was about Johnny, but it wasn't there. I don't know. There like wasn't enough. I don't want to say action, but there wasn't enough like plot. It's kind of the best way I can think of it. Like it didn't. It just feels like something was missing this week in both episodes. I feel like.
There were parts
I liked. I did like I said, their interaction. The thing with them trying to find out the password of the ship was kind of cool and. The whole playing the music.
Yeah.
Although it kind of concerned me that, I mean, okay, I guess that Lucy reset herself, but it just made me think about how we saw in the first episode when Johnny first met Lucy, he was like, hey, she's in trouble. And she listened. And so I was kind of confused that she would completely
Lucy
erase
wouldn't
herself.
Listen.
Yeah. And that
yeah.
they couldn't have found a way to get through to her. Like I would have more appreciated something like that, I think. But I mean, it still
right.
worked. It wasn't.
Cause I get why Lucy would do that, but Lucy's
yeah.
like if you say Johnny's in
she
trouble,
knows.
Like Lucy should turn herself right back on. Right. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, and that, I mean, otherwise it worked. The things with the non-moving Holland is somewhat interesting. The one thing, though, I don't know if I missed something or it was in the way that the recap was, but I got to get the order of the stuff I got from Sci-Fi Wire, and it had said about the spider thing moving, and that I guess one was inside Pip. I thought it went near Pip. I don't remember it going into him. Or, I mean, didn't
we
it just, like,
never
try to go into
it.
Him?
So he
That's
was attacked by he was attacked by that Hullen, right? And that Hullen was, like, over top of him and opened her mouth, and the spider started coming out. We never saw that spider go inside Pip. I think we're supposed to assume it happened, but it happens, like, off camera. And then the next scene, he's like, Zeph goes, how did you get that cut on your face? Remember last week? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that, but I was thinking that it went to go in him and they stopped it. I don't know. They changed it from the screener, which is possible, but
it went to go in him. Like, it started coming out of the Holland's mouth, and then they cut to commercial.
For some reason, I'm thinking that it didn't, and I'm just probably misremembering. But you know what? It was probably because, let's be honest, that kind of scene has happened in so many shows, X-Files,
right,
Strain.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember being like, oh, God, that's gross, and this has happened so many times. So that might have been why I didn't really remember. But I do like
that
a lot.
That would be perfectly valid.
Yeah, and Pri had some nice scenes in here, too. And I like hearing him sing. He's a good singer. I like when they have him sing. Because I think he sings in real life.
That whole storyline was the more interesting part, right, with Zeph and Pip and Pri and all of them was way better, and
which was more the B story, so
right, I had to sneeze, but I remember thinking while I watched it how much I enjoy the way they have integrated Pri in with the group, and that, you know, he used to just be the bartender, and every time they came back from a mission they'd stop and have a drink or whatever, and that was cool. But I do appreciate how they have begun to integrate him as more like part of the gang. And they're doing
I agree, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing from what I've heard, you know, like from different, not specifically this show, but just from what I've heard lately of other shows, and that I'm guessing there's a good chance that he probably was not meant to have that big of a part, and maybe because he was so good they expanded it, because if you had thought about it in the first season, I don't know that I would have expected that to happen, but I'm definitely glad he is in it more. And the only other really thing I have to mention is that when I had talked to Aaron, he did mention about Dutch's entrance. She did make quite an entrance. So that was really the only other thing that I had to mention. Well, I guess he can't get any other green because it, like, crystallized behind her. Because I was thinking, why didn't they just go back and get some until they can figure out what to do? But it, like, solidified or something.
Well, they can't because they have to, like, make the story harder, right? That's why.
Hopefully it won't be too much longer. I want Team Awesome Force back in full swing, so.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay.
So, all right.
Okay, well, we can talk a tiny bit. I probably should talk about the other storyline, though, that I didn't mention. That's right. So you didn't see Dutch's entrance, did you?
I didn't.
At the end, Johnny shoots Dav, and I think in the back, or in the stomach, I think in the back, but he has on like a bulletproof vest or whatever, but he's going to shoot him again and kill him, and Dutch crawls out of the, they went to, like, he used Dav to be able to find more green, and it was like a pond
he
of
used
green.
Dav as like a green detector, yeah.
Well, whenever they got to that place, he was going to shoot him again, and Dutch comes crawling out of the green, and she shoots Johnny. So that was kind of her re-entrance, but she's back. And then I think she passed out, yeah. So that was kind of that. And then the other thing with Delcea is that guy, you know, was,
that
was
warden
stealing
guy?
From...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was stealing from the company or whatever, and she had that girl help her, so it was broadcast to the people so they knew what he was doing. And she got him to listen to her for a while, too, like using the idea of, you know, I can help you because... And she showed him she could heal, because obviously if they're, like, harvesting organs...
I saw that,
that would be really helpful that she can regenerate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that was kind of that storyline.
She was trying to...
But these are all back together now, the whole group. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's way better. That's what we want to see.
Yeah. What else was I going to say? I don't remember. Oh, the other news I had, I assume you've probably seen this and know this, but if you watch the previews, Aaron, I want to say Ashmore. No, not Ashmore. Aaron Stanford from 12 Monkeys is going to be in Fear the Walking Dead.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see. Was that on that special they aired over the weekend?
It was on the couple minute preview that was in there. I didn't finish watching that special. And I know you didn't watch it, but I'm just going to say, I guess Fear comes back next week. But the thing that surprised me is, okay, Yvette Nicole Brown did this special, and it was because it had already been settled and everything before they brought Chris back. And I can understand reasons why they would have started. I mean, she was already probably paid to do it. They didn't want to redo it, and I'm glad they didn't. She's really cool. I like her. I'd like for her to continue to even be a co-host at least. But that being said, I was actually surprised. I will tell people, if you haven't watched it and you do not want to be spoiled about anything, you probably shouldn't watch it. They actually,
really?
Not that there was serious spoilers, but there were certain things they said that I was surprised about. Without saying it, like, there's some things about Maggie that maybe she talked about that we wouldn't know yet. I'm trying to think what else. There were just, oh, and about a relationship coming in the show that was not there, that they just kind of, like, talked about. And the one thing I will say,
wow,
'cause I don't think this really spoils anything, but there is a 2-year time jump. The one who plays Jesus kind of said that, I think, sort of accidentally, but they didn't care about that. But, yeah, I don't want to necessarily go into it now because people might not want to know. But if you don't want to know, I suggest you wait. They weren't – from what I had watched so far, I quit, I think, halfway through because I decided to go to bed at that point. I haven't watched the rest yet. But they're not, like, spoilers that are going to, you know, totally ruin your experience. But they're little ones. And, of course, they talked about Andy leaving as well was part of the topic. So,
yeah,
there we go.
All right. I'm not going to watch it.
No.
Why do I care? I'm really growing to hate that show so much.
It.
That why do I care? Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to see it because of her more than anything, or I probably wouldn't have even bothered. Although I'm still going to watch Fear next week. Are you intending to watch Fear still?
Yeah. I mean, I think Fear the Walking Dead is not up to the level that it was last season, but it's still really good and still the far better event in that franchise. It's still good. I'm definitely going to watch Fear.
Okay. All right. Well, we can go into Castle Rock in a second. Like I said, I think I only saw the first three. It's been a while since I watched it. I can kind of comment a little bit, but I think I'm behind one from you guys. But before I do that, I might as well say, because I did want to mention, so I told you guys earlier, I can't remember if I had said this on the show before, but I've become really, really into BBC Sherlock, which if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's awesome. I've watched it twice now. But anyway, regardless of that and liking Benedict Cumberbatch, which is a whole other issue, I decided, because there's not very – the thing is like when you binge something, you want to keep watching it. Like if you decide you want to watch Doctor Who, you can go back and it gives you a long journey. You know, you get a lot of time out of it. There's only like 13 – Sherlock episodes, which that's the part that sucks. So anyway, I decided I wanted to watch one of his shows, and I started watching Patrick Melrose. And now, I don't know if you know what it's about. It's a semi-autobiographical story that this guy wrote about, it's like from his childhood to like, I think his thing. He was raped by his father when he was little, and it's kind of like he became a drug addict and all this, and it's kind of like his journey of how he you know, tried to recover from that. It's obviously not science fiction, but the thing is, he is absolutely amazing in it. He does, there's parts where he's funny because he's totally high, and there's parts that he, like, is crying under the bed, and it is really hard to watch a lot of it. I will say that. It's very, very emotional. I found myself laughing, crying through the whole thing, but he's amazing. I think he's up for awards for it, I think. But if you like that kind of story and don't mind sort of the, you know, the hard stuff, the kind of sexual abuse and some things of suicide and that kind of thing. It is really good. It was definitely worth a watch. I usually wouldn't have enjoyed something like that, but it was really good. And I know part of it's him, but I think also it was written really well too. So I recommend that and Sherlock. So there you go.
Okay. I've heard about that show, but I hadn't.
Yeah, it's Showtime.
It on my list yet. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all I've watched. I've had, like, a lot going on this week, and that's why I didn't get caught up in Castle Rock. But I kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit before I go, because I'd like to not get spoiled on the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Since I wasn't here when you guys talked about the beginning of it, how do you kind of feel about the show? Do you like it?
I do.
Yeah, I like it. So last week we talked about the first two episodes. We both really liked it and were intrigued enough to watch it some more. AJ's more of the Stephen King fan and a little more knowledgeable about what this is based on. I thought the third episode was maybe a little bit slower and more setup-y, and then four, which we won't spoil you on, dives into the mystery a little deeper. I think it's good and creepy, and I do get – so I'll have to pass it to AJ. I do get a Stephen King feeling about it, even though he doesn't write the show per se. I feel like, to me, it seems like the people who are writing it are like students of Stephen King and get the mood they want to project. I don't know if AJ, you know, who has spent more time with Stephen King's work. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he's an EP, right?
Yeah, he's an executive producer along with AJ.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know that it was quite what I'm not sure what I expected. I don't know it was quite what I expected. I don't know. I feel like I expected it to be a little more, I don't know, mystery. I'm not sure. Like, I agree. The first couple
more
episodes,
mystery.
Well, at least the first episode, was a little slow. But once you got the whole story of the, and I don't remember any of the names, I apologize. Like I said, it's been a few weeks since I've seen it. But the guy that was sort of like the evil demon or whatever in the prison, once you got that whole story, I thought that was interesting. And I liked, obviously, the Locke was in it. But no, that was pretty good. And I like the character of the girl that's psychic or whatever. I had gotten to the part. Yeah, I had gotten to the part where I had seen the episode where she was trying to do the thing on the news channel. I think that was episode 3, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, that's episode three.
I'm pretty sure that's the end of what I saw. I do like her interactions with him, and I think the relationship's interesting because, you know, it's a little different. But I do like this show. I just got to get back into watching it and have time. Like, I was going to try to watch it today, but it's like when I watched it weeks ago, I feel like just doing it without going back through it, I don't think I would have been able to get back into it very easily just because there's a lot going on. But I do want to watch the rest of it. So anyway, but you guys can talk more details. I'd like to watch it, so I don't want to be spoiled. So I will go, but I'll try to catch up, and then next week we'll talk about. And then next week we'll also have Fear the Walking Dead as well.
Watch it so you don't get behind. Because I know how hard it can be when you have work to do
and
get behind.
Really
and like
that.
I got 2, 3, 4, so.
Yeah, I'm horrible at that, I admit. So are you just doing one episode a week? I wasn't sure, because I know the couple were on
at
the beginning. Yeah,
now we are.
Okay, so
now
I just need to watch 4 and 5 then. So that's not too bad.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing 3 and 4 tonight, and then next week will be episode 5.
Okay,
We only did a couple because they released them that way, but now they're releasing them
at a time. I didn't know how they released them, because like I said, I watched the screener, so I didn't really see the schedule. Was there anything else that's coming out other than Fear? I was just thinking, is there anything we need to mention? I know there's some shows coming, but I don't know. I don't off the top of my head remember when. Like, I know that, I think that Manifest looks good. I haven't had a chance to watch a screener yet, but the one where they're on an airplane, you've probably seen the previews. It's like an NBC show that they're on an airplane. When they come back, it's like years later. I think that looks good.
Yeah, and people don't like it because they said they've already started calling themselves the next Lost.
Well, I don't know if they should do that. You know, that's always something bad.
Nobody should ever do that.
Yeah, I agree. But I haven't seen it yet. Oh, the one thing I did see I do want to mention, I don't know if you guys, if you play games that you even care, but about Uncharted, I assume you guys have probably at least heard about this, but I've been a fan of the Uncharted games and Nathan Drake, and Nathan Fillion made his own fan film, basically. I think he produced it too, but anyway, he's a star of it. It's like 15 minutes or something, but you can watch it for free. It's on YouTube, and it's made, like, even though they've sort of made it independently, I mean, it looks like a regular film. It's done really well. It's funny. I would love to see a full version. But anyway, if people like that kind of thing, or even like Yeah, Nathan. Nathan plays Nathan. But anyway, it's a good show. Or, you know, it's, like I said, it's only like 15 minutes or whatever, but it's pretty good. I liked it, so people can watch that as well. And that's all I got to say. Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, I think we'll catch up with you. That's all we really have for next week of anything new coming, and we'll...
I believe that's
yeah.
all. And I will get caught
right.
up, and I will talk to you guys next week. Okay,
okay.
Have
right.
fun. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, Jamie.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All
okay,
right.
So I just watched episode 4, like, right before we talked. I did watch 3 last week.
So did
week.
I.
oh, yeah.
I just finished 4 earlier, right before the podcast.
Okay, so that's the one we really are going to remember really well.
Yeah.
And,
you
so
know,
the,
and
but
3
the
and
third,
4 have a lot to do with each other, so.
They do.
They focus quite a bit on Molly.
Yes, I mean, 3, which would have aired last week, was when we really got to know more about Molly, and I mean, that's when we saw Molly. I mean, we know what Molly did less, you know, like, so that was shocking
yeah.
to me.
Me too.
I couldn't believe that it turns out that she killed Henry's father, has allowed everyone in town to believe that forever. There's really no explanation of why she did it, and she just disconnects the air and watches them die, right, for no reason. And then now all of a sudden, has she been haunted her entire life, or like the haunting just started with the kid getting out of the well, I think, right? I don't really know. What did you make of all that?
Well, it could be either the kid get them finding the kid, or it could be because Henry's back in town.
Yeah.
It could
yeah.
be connected to Henry, because she's clearly very connected to Henry. He's driving up episode 4. He's driving up to her house, and she hears the entire conversation that he just had with Alan.
Yeah.
Personally, I think there's a couple things going on here, because I don't know if you're familiar enough, but she makes the comment when she's showing the warden's house. She makes the comment about how she lives in the house of a serial strangler and she sleeps like a baby.
Yes. I heard that.
You know what that's in reference
that,
to?
No, is that a reference to a Stephen King story about the city of Castle Rock?
The dead zone. In the dead zone,
I've seen the dead zone.
Yeah.
The main plot is he falls through the ice, and when he comes out, when he comes back to life, if he touches you, he sees how you're going to die, right?
Yeah. But one of the storylines of it, the main protagonist of the story is Johnny helps Sheriff Bannerman capture the strangler who's going around Castle Rock killing people. And that
I've
and
never
the house
read
that
the
Molly
book.
Lives in is the house of the strangler. Well, it happened in the movie too.
Okay, it does. I've seen the movie, but I don't really remember that. Anyway, so they're throwing out all these Stephen King reference.
Yeah, but remember the guy that fell on the scissors in his bathroom, lived with his mother.
Oh yeah.
He was
that
the strangler,
was him.
And that's the house Molly lives. Yep, and that's the house
this
Molly
was
in
that house.
Now. Yeah, so that was that.
Okay,
reference.
So And so
I was gonna
she
say,
doesn't.
Though, that,
yeah.
That was just my jumping off point.
Okay.
So I don't know if that has something to do with the spirits too with her, because she now lives in the house of the strangler. But I get the feeling that the good pastor wasn't such a good guy. I feel like we're gonna find out that he was not this upstanding citizen that everybody thinks he was. And I think whatever happened with him and Henry that night, I think Henry did hurt him that night, but I think it was in self-defense. And then I think she killed him because she, being an empath, knows what he's really all about. Like, I don't think he was a good guy.
So I started to think that a little bit. You might have seen that coming a little bit before I did, but when he started haunting her, and he's like a very... Like, the way he's haunting her is a very creepy, like, aggressive and dangerous haunt. It's not, like, guilting her for why did you kill me, right? Like, I just got, like, a really sense of, like, evil or danger from him the way he haunted her, right? Or when he appeared to her or whatever. I'm not sure what's going on there. But what really got me was in episode 4, when Henry comes into the house and his mother, Sissy Spacek, says, "Take your shoes off. You know your father won't tolerate any clackety clack." And I was like, oh, his father's mean, right? Like, you don't want your kids stomping around the house making noise, whatever. Like, not that he's mean, but that to me was like a red flag. Like, oh, the father is like, she's nervous, right? It gave me a feeling of what you're saying, that it's going to turn out that the father was not this upstanding pastor. I feel like moving his grave again is not going to be a good thing to happen. Sissy Spacek was also clearly alarmed. Like, when she sees his coffin, she's like,
oh, yeah,
freaked out a little bit.
She was freaked out.
And I think you're right that we're going to find out that there's more to this guy, and maybe Henry did do something to him, but maybe, yeah, it was self-defense. And you know how Henry's having these flashbacks of like maybe being, there's a fence around him. Like, was Henry kept in a cage maybe for those 10 days or whatever? Those flashbacks to me are a little too vague for me to make sense of right now.
Yeah. I don't
but,
know. They are either.
Like he's remembering something, and maybe his father, this is real. Yeah. Like, if this is really inspired by Stephen King, then it's going to be horrifying. Like, a Stephen King story is never any, like, right? It's always, like, the worst thing that you could imagine is actually what happened to this kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also, so, there's all that. There's the guy that Henry goes to see, Mr. Desjardins, who is not at all, I mean, Henry's expecting that this is the key to everything. Oh, this guy's Asian, and then they didn't investigate him. He totally did it, right? And then it turns out the guy has basically nothing to do with it. And yet he's creepy also, right?
The guy that, well, it was the brother that he suspected. It turns out the brother was tax of it, or, you know, insurance fraud. And this guy, while a little loopy, I am curious to know what the deal with the shed and the bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
I was a little. I'm curious about that. There's something. We're not done with that yet. There's something going on there, but I'm not sure what yet.
I wonder if he could be in on it with Sheriff. What's his name? Pangborn. And
well, in on what though?
Yeah. And Lacey, in that, you know, they are. We saw that part where 2 weeks ago, where we got the Terry O'Quinn voiceover, and it turns out that, you know, they think they're protecting the town, and that Pangborn was in on it with Lacey, with the kid being like locked up and stuff. And I mean, you know, also I've read a bunch of Stephen King stories where it turns out like a whole town is in on this shit sometimes, right? They could all be on it. I don't know.
Well, I do get the feeling that a lot of people know something that Henry doesn't. Like, that scene with Henry and Alan, and Alan's like, you know, Alan makes it like he has been texting Henry for all these years, because apparently Alan has been sleeping with his mother for 30 years. And that, you know, that also leads to me to believe that, you know, the good pastor, how could you betray the good pastor unless he's not that good, you know? So, you know, there's that. But, you know, Alan makes it sound like he basically covered for Henry, and he really believes that, you know, because of the way Henry, I mean, I can understand why they think Henry did it as far as killing the father the next day. Because
Henry wasn't there. Henry was not found. The father was found in 3 days. Henry was gone 11 days. Henry wasn't
in the
house when Molly.
Was found when Molly did it.
They think Henry threw his father off the cliff or whatever and broke his back. They don't think Henry pulled the plug, do they?
Well, the way Alan said it sounds like it.
Alan says the father was still alive and whispered in Alan's ear, Henry did it.
And the next day, the next day he died.
He says the father whispered in his ear, Henry did it, and the next day he died, right? I think Henry was not found yet. Henry's accused of setting in motion the events that killed his father. But I don't think he's... At any rate, I don't know if I believe that the father actually said that. I'm not sure if Pangborn has a reason to lie, that in some way perpetrating this lie and making Henry think all this stuff is in some way protecting Henry. If the father really said it, I mean, if the father really said it, would Alan even believe it, knowing what he knows about this town, right? Like, I just...
Right.
I don't know. There's more there, right? There's definitely more there.
There's definitely more there, and I also think Henry did it is very vague. Henry did what? Henry caught a fish? Because they were on a fishing trip.
Yeah.
In the woods.
Yeah. Henry saved,
like, they went out there together.
Henry saved me? Yeah. Henry...
You don't know what Henry
did
it means.
Henry could have done something good. He could have, yeah. I mean, there definitely something evil and bad happened. In, like, there's more, I feel like there's more than just an altercation with the father. There's like some sort of evil presence, right? Like the,
yeah.
Like, I mean, that whole thing that happened in the prison with Dennis, I mean, there is some like evil motivating him,
Dennis,
right?
I think Dennis snapped. Because when Henry calls and says, I'm leaving, there's not going to be a trial, we're taking the settlement. And you can tell Dennis is clearly upset because, you know, after finding the kid and getting, you know, and giving him the bribe, you know, he's kind of had his eyes open. Like, he's always known shit was wrong. But until this whole thing, like, this kind of shook him back to reality, and he's like, this is wrong. And he wants to stand up and do the right thing. And his one chance to do it just went through the window, and I think he kind of lost his shit and was like, well, I'm not going to be able to do it legally, so run around shooting people.
Well, except for two things. He didn't lose his shit and go crazy violent until after he touched the kid. Like, when he fist-bumped the kid, I was like, oh, shit. Like, touching the kid is, like, very, very bad, right? Like, the last guy who touched the kid died of cancer the next day, and Dennis didn't act like that until after he had touched the kid, and also... Isn't what happened exactly what he saw in his vision last week? Like, Dennis had a vision of all these officers getting shot, and he ran out there, and, like, nothing was wrong, right? So
He didn't see them shot. He saw them all dead already. But now we're seeing how they got dead from his vision, because it was him himself.
Yeah.
So,
and now,
I mean,
I didn't compare the scenes. I have to go back and compare them, but I'm assuming – when we saw them dead was exactly the same. I'm assuming it's exactly the same scenario that he saw in his vision. Touching the kid, I think, is part of this thing. I think, but I don't really know, right? But that was crazy, right? And then this all goes around, but he doesn't angry at Henry. But he doesn't shoot Henry. He comes in and says, I want to testify. And then they, like, then they gun him down, right? And, yeah. Which is not going to be good for Henry to have been, like, people are just going to think more weird things about him that he was there when that happened, right?
Yeah. Very true. And that's the thing. I mean, he was. I never thought he was going to shoot Henry for any and at any point that I think he was going to shoot Henry, because all the people he shot are really shitty guards. Like, they're not nice people. You know, I mean, we saw on the screen prior to him going and doing that what these guards were doing to the inmates. I mean, granted, you know, I mean, the inmates are there for a reason, but it's still no reason for the guards to act the way they act.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, Dennis, okay, so I know that this is a bad prison, and that Dennis has always, like, from the day we met Dennis, he, like, doesn't like working there, there's bad shit, but I wonder, is it getting worse? Like, I just, you know, seems like as Dennis is looking at the video screens, he's seeing, like, even more, like, every scene is, like, bad behavior on the guards' part against the prisons, right? Prisoners. And while yeah, this is a bad prison, I wonder, is this behavior escalating since the kid is now in the prison population? We haven't really, like, I don't know, I felt like there was a
It could be.
I don't know.
But the way Dennis
says it's been happening for years. And Dennis, like, this was Dennis's chance to be a good person, and then Henry, like, takes it away from him and he snaps. But also, like, he snaps a little because of, like, I don't know how this is going to go for Henry. By the way, what do you think about Henry sleeping with Molly?
Well, do we know that he did? Because we don't see that. He goes in the house and we see him in the bed in the next morning. But we don't even know that's her bed.
Yeah. No, all we know, you're right. All we know is she said, come in the house, and he slept over there. And we don't know.
Right.
I honestly thought the way that scene was going to go was she was going to say, come in the house and let me show you my creepy box full of your stuff that I stole 7 years ago that I've been keeping, right?
Well, I think when they were interrupted at the bar by, by Dennis.
Dennis.
I think she was about to confess. Yeah, I think she was about to confess to him killing his father.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's where that was going also. So you're right. We don't know that he slept with her. We didn't see that, but he spent the night there for sure.
Yeah.
Which was like her dream when she was a little girl. She wrote his name like over and over on her. On her notebook, she was, really obsessed with him. And she seems to be different, and yet I wonder if, I don't know, if she's still obsessed with him. There's some unhealthy something with her.
there's lots of unhealthy stuff going on in this town.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? One thing that was made clear to me, which I appreciated, because I had mentioned it last week, was the time frame of where they're at in Castle Rock. Because I mentioned there was, because Alan's older and everything, based on everything. But they keep calling it Castle County, and Castle Rock's a shell of what it used to be. So it's definitely modern era, which is why they keep referring to it as Castle County, because Castle Rock is so small compared to what it used to be. And that's why, and that's part of the story that Molly's trying to rebuild the town.
Right.
So I appreciated that was clarified for myself and anybody else that was wondering the same thing as me going.
I was wondering about it. Yeah. Yeah. With the timeline and the deals with all that. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely,
which I had a pretty good idea. That's where it was because Alan is so much older.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is episode 4. There's only like 10, right? I think it's really good. I hope Jamie will catch up. I think there's probably a very convoluted mystery that is getting deeper, like the dog kennel with the bowl of cereal and the, like, feel like, I just feel like everyone in this town is in on it, maybe except for Henry.
Well, and you know what I thought? There was something funny that I was just going to say, and I don't know what it was now. Oh, when Jamie was like, I thought there would be more of a mystery. I was like, more?
Yeah, right? I don't understand anything, right? Every single person is totally creepy with a million secrets.
Speaking of mysteries, before we go on to the next show, while I'm thinking about it, I just read today that Ryan Murphy has confirmed 5 more actors and actresses for Apocalypse that they're going to be in it.
Wait, Apocalypse is the next, what's it called, right? American Horror Story Apocalypse, yeah.
Which is the crossover between Coven and Murder House. But aside from everybody that we always knew about, he confirmed today.
I don't even know who we knew about. We knew about the normal ensemble, right?
We already knew about Sarah Paulson and Billy Lord, Evan Peters, Jessica Lange back for one episode, Kathy Bates, Emma Roberts, and Adina Porter are all.
Yep. Gang.
Today he confirmed on Twitter, Thaisa Farmiga's back. The Born
wait,
Sabib
wait,
is
what?
Back. Lily Robbins. Right. The Borny Sabib.
Wait.
I don't.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
Lily Raby is back. Frances Conroy is back.
Oh, yay.
Frances Conroy.
Yeah, Frances Conroy is awesome.
She's in every one of them except for herself. And my personal favorite, I'm really glad she's back for this because it's the coven, you know, because of the crossover, is Stevie Nicks will be back too.
Who?
Stevie?
I can't hear. Stevie Nicks? Shut up.
What?
Stevie Nicks? Did you say Stevie Nicks?
Stevie.
Did you say Stevie?
Yes, she will be back. She will be back for the crossover.
That's awesome. I am. So Coven is maybe my favorite season of American Horror Story, or definitely in my like top two probably. And Murder House, I was never able to finish because Murder House freaked me out way too much, and I couldn't even like watch the rest of it.
Oh, you didn't? I'll have to fill you in then, because premise of Apocalypse bases largely on Murder House. What's the last thing you saw on Murder House?
I don't know. I only watched a few episodes. It was too scary and creepy, and I couldn't watch it. Murder House. The daughter was so creepy. It was horrible. I'm gonna have to watch it now, right?
Well, you're either gonna have to watch it, or at the very least, read a synopsis of the entire thing. You know, read some cliff notes or something, because it weighs heavily on the whole premise of Apocalypse.
Yeah. All right, I'll watch it. It'll probably be scary, but I'll watch it. It's like the scariest of all the seasons, right?
It's creepy.
I don't know.
It's the first one.
I know. All right. I never watched Hotel either. Hotel I abandoned in the middle because it was too boring.
Yeah, I suffered through it, but it was not one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's a great, great cast. I guess it's worth creeping myself out, having a couple scary nights so I can watch it. I'll do it. I'll do it for the podcast. If I have to.
All right.
So all right, what else is on tap tonight?
Really want to talk about.
Let's just do it. Let's just talk about the 100.
Right. So I'm not as angry this week as I was last week. How about you?
So I would agree that this week was bad, but not as bad as last week. I guess if I wanted to be positive, I'd say this is an improvement over last week, but only marginally so. Only because this week we didn't have anybody say we can earn our humanity back after being cannibals. But this was still, right? No one tried to justify cannibalism this week, so that was a plus. But in general, this show was not on track this week, and there were still a lot of terrible, terrible scenes that angered me. And I think you abandoned it, right? You watched part of the episode, and were like, I have to turn this off. I can't, right? Didn't you tell me you had stopped in the middle?
10 minutes in. After Clark zapped Maddie, I turned it off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is just ridiculous. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stomach it. I was like, I was so, after last week, and then, you know, that being within the first, I was so angry still. I watched it, and I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, I'm not, no. I was like, I'll come back later. And then I watched maybe another 10 minutes another time, and then I finally suffered through the rest of it. And thank God for Team Murphy, because I enjoyed all their stuff. Their stuff was so good. Echo is one of my favorite characters this season. She's been amazing. You know, I mean, just everybody on Team Murphy.
They're the only hope for the human race.
Echo's
Team Murphy
on the show, but we keep calling it Team Murphy.
Yeah, but like I wish they would kill everyone and just let the six of them repopulate the Earth for humanity, because the rest of them are just. I mean, I. So. you're upset with the way they're, you know, with what they did with Clark, and I agree with you when she like zapped Maddie. One thing I don't really think they're doing a great job with is this way that they're trying to like compare Clark's actions to what Abby did back in season like 1, 2, 3 or whatever, right? And the way that, you know, the way that they're like, oh, you know, it's like, what would you do to save your child? And there's a point where, maybe it was last week, where Clark asks Abby, like, what should I do? And Abby says, you're talking to a woman who sent 100 kids to the ground to save my one my child from being spaced, right? And I was kind of like, don't even compare Clark to Abby, because Clark is so much more mature and so much more intelligent than Abby ever has been on the show. And to show Clark putting that thing around, that collar around her neck and zapping her and the things she's doing, I just feel like, I don't know. On the one hand, I don't believe Clark would ever do that to Maddie. On the other hand, it's not nearly as bad as sending 100 kids to the ground to die, which is what they did, right? Just Abby's sins are so much worse than Clark's sins. And I don't like the way they're using Clark to sort of, are we supposed to retroactively feel bad for and understand what Abby did 3 years ago? Because Clark's actions are not nearly in that category, I don't think.
Abby,
I don't know. Siding with Dio's is pretty bad. Siding with Dio's is bad. Abby? Abby's the worst.
And then, to make it worse, later in the episode when her and Kane finally come face to face, he tries to let her off.
Yeah.
The hook. Like, now we're letting Abby off the hook. It wasn't you. You didn't kill those people. Octavia did. Technically, yes, Octavia killed those people. But you didn't hear the conversation that Abby had with Octavia. She's the one that convinced Octavia killing people was a good idea. Like, don't let her off the hook like that. I hope the show, that's not what the show is doing here. Or what? I don't even know what the hell they're doing. But it's just... My only other happy moment in this episode, aside from all the Murphy and company, is when Vincent tries to kill Kane. And I really hope Kane dies. I was actually upset to see Abby fry his brain with a collar. I was like, let him finish what he started.
The same way. Like, I kind of felt like, okay, let Kane die. And let it be, like, Abby's fault, kind of, for, like, not, you know, being careful with Vincent. And I thought, let him die, and maybe, you know, like, we'd be rid of one horrible character, and we might be able to, like, show something useful with Abby. I don't know what. But... I guess she's going to live. They didn't really, like, show what happens, but she, like, Abby arrives in time, and she's, like, going to try to save him. And Kane says to her, I know it was you who told Octavia to break me. Which, I mean, we knew all along that Kane knew, but it still kind of felt like, is there nothing Abby can not be forgiven for? Like, Kane has known for 5 years, and he's, like, forgiven her. Like, I just feel like Kane is not dealing with her in a way that is going to help her. And I don't know. I didn't feel good when he said that. I was like, oh, this is your deathbed confession. I knew. Like, I hope you just die now, because you're just saying you knew for all these years, and you just let them do whatever, right? Like, Kane's supposed to be the big stand-up guy, but he sort of rolled over also. I feel like, aside from Team Murphy, it's terrible. This show is like, aside from Team Murphy, the best character to me right now, and this is Maddie. Because Maddie is the only person who keeps saying, you guys are wrong, you guys are wrong. And I know she's speaking with like the wisdom of the commanders or whatever, but let's face it, the memories the commanders are giving her are the same memories that like, I mean, if she goes back only to Lexa and maybe the one before Lexa, whose name I forget, like, everybody else lived through that also and remembers what happened there. But she's the only one who's like, Clark, you're wrong. Clark, this is not a way to live. We've got to, you know. And then Maddie goes and saves Octavia, which she really
has no reason to do, in the sense that she could be the command. Like, Octavia is the obstacle to her being the commander. So she could let Octavia die, and then her route to being commander is clear. And the one who was commander before Lexa, whose name I forget, she would have done that. She was a ruthless commander, whereas Lexa was more like what's right for the people. But I'm like, wait, Maddie's only been on the show for like a minute. She's a brand new character, and she's the best character, one of the best characters right now, I think. I also am not, I think you and I both continue to struggle with, we're now supposed to see Dioza as a, like Dioza and Kane are allied together, and we're supposed to see Dioza as a good character. Like, are we supposed to like her? Like, because she's pregnant, because a worse character, McCreary, is against her. So now we're supposed to, like, I hear you say, ugh, you're like, you're struggling as I am, right? You're struggling the same way I am.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? We called this 4 or 5 episodes into the season that this was going to happen. We've always known this is where they were going to go. They killed, I'll tell you one thing, though. They decimated the shit out of some red shirts. Holy crap.
Oh my God.
So, you know what else I appreciated was I really enjoyed when they were back in the desert and Jackson's trying to patch everybody up, and Miller and the other woman get into it, and they're like, Miller's like, we can still win this, and she's like, ain't nobody following Blood Raina. You're insane, dude. Like, we're done with this crap, you know? And that's the mess. The thing is, like, you know, they've been following her out of fear this whole time, not so much out of loyalty. Because of what, you know, we see what happened in that dark year. So ever since then, it's been, oh, shit.
Yep.
She's going to kill me.
Yep. And now they got out and they don't have to follow her in there. So another character that you and I complain about is Miller. And I really felt when I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, just shut up, Miller. You're the worst. Like, Miller is the worst character. He used to be the best, and now he's the worst. And why is Miller the one guy who is 100% devoted to her in a way beyond almost anyone, right? Except for Kara, who got eaten by worms.
I was waiting when that confrontation was going down. I kept waiting for Jackson to be, you know, because who can call you out on your shit more than your lover? So I kept waiting for Jackson to be like, Miller, enough, dude, shut the hell up. Like, give it up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Right?
I'm tired of patching everybody up.
Yep. And shouldn't have to now that they're out. So that was good that people are not following Blood Raina anymore, because Blood Raina is the worst, and she got them all killed. And so to me, one of the other weak parts of the night. So we have this scene where Octavia and God, what's her brother's name? I want to call him Will.
Bellamy.
Octavia and Bellamy are pinned down on the ground and they can't move. And she keeps trying to get up. And Bellamy's like, hello, stay down, which I'm sorry. I don't like Octavia was being stupid and non-strategic in that scene, right? I also felt like that's not a person who gets
Octavia's
Blood Raina.
Octavia's been stupid the entire season, so it didn't surprise me. She's been pigheaded and unrealistic, so that didn't surprise me. But you know what's funny is Bellamy, you know, he keeps being nasty to her. And I get why. But, you know, it kind of cracks me up that he's not like, you know what? Go ahead. Stand up. I'm tired of your shit.
Yeah.
Because he keeps telling, you know, he keeps referring to Murphy and company as his family, and referring to her as not. So.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of not acting that way.
And I got to say, actually, he said it so many times in this episode. I mean, I don't have a problem with Bellamy. Bellamy has been great this entire season. He's part of the Team Murphy story. But the writing they've been giving him, some of the stuff he's been saying, in this episode especially, it's like, dude, shut up. We get it. You're pissed at Octavia. Like, how many times in one episode, in the span of 20 minutes, can you tell her she's not your family anymore? Like, dude, get over it. Enough. She got it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, I mean,
And then he did go out of his way to advise her to she was acting stupid. You're right, Octavia's been stupid all season and out of character because Octavia was a great warring strategist and knows better than to stand up and get yourself killed. But to me, one of the parts even that I enjoyed less than almost any other, and I blame the director for this, and this is poor direction, when they decide they're going to run for it, and then Octavia's like, you'll never make it. I'm going to shoot at these lights. You run, and I'll get killed. And Octavia's like shooting and shooting at them. And then she runs out of bullets, and she throws her gun aside and drops to her knees with her arms outstretched in like kind of a Christ figure sort of a pose and throws her head back and is like waiting to be shot in this dramatic fashion. And I was like, I think I saw that in a student film, like when I was in college. Like I just felt that that was overwrought and overdramatic, and then it played out over – I don't know how many seconds that ran, but nobody shot her because somehow at that moment there were no bullets, or because Team Murphy, which we didn't know, I just thought that was a not inspired piece of direction, I thought.
And there's a lot of those.
I was like, give me a break, and rolling my eyes the whole time Octavia's like, sort of like, am I supposed to feel like Octavia's back? This is good Octavia? Because this is not. Octavia's not back. This is like still
Octavia's like... Oh, that's exactly
Octavia's
what we're
like,
supposed to think. And I am not falling
yeah.
for it.
No, I'm not either.
It's just...
You
know what, though? I got to say, aside from Team Murphy, you know who's actually really killed it this season? And actually, I really, really enjoyed her in this episode. I thought she nailed everything. Is Adina Porter. I think she's... You know, with all the crap we've gotten, there's been a couple of bright spots. And we talk about Team Murphy all the time, but Adina Porter has been really great this season. I mean, not that she's been bad all season, but this episode especially, I thought she really shined.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that are still doing good work. We just need to tell everybody else off, right?
This season. We're not angry with any of the actors or actresses, you know. It's the characters that they're being written to, and everybody's doing the best of their ability to act out what they've been given and the direction they've been given. I completely blame the creative people behind this show. You know, everybody's doing a marvelous job of what they've been given to do. I just can't believe what they are asking these people to do.
Well, I mean, like those scenes where it looks like Guy is going to die, right? And like, you know, Indra is, you know, trying to, I mean, I think Adina Porter did great work. And I think those scenes made more sense in the whole, I mean, they're playing with themes of motherhood this season. Absolutely. Right. And we're seeing like, you know, we've talked about this Clark as a mother, but Indra as a mother of Gaia is a really very interesting storyline in the way she, like, you know, she's raised her, but then her daughter chose a different path that she didn't really want for her daughter. And, you know, but we see how much she still wants to protect. Like, there's so much going on there that is so more meaningful and well acted than sort of the Clark Abby Maddie thing. Like, I like Clark Maddie sort of, but I mean, I would like to see Indra. Yeah, I'd like to see Indra go back to being, you know, the leader of Tree Crew, and I would like to see Octavia accept a subordinate position again. Like Indra was so much better with Octavia as her second. Those two had a great dynamic that way, and Octavia listens to her but doesn't, like, Octavia stopped listening to her a long time ago, which is another thing that is a little difficult for me to swallow. Because Octavia was the daughter that Indra lost when Gaia became a priestess, right?
Right. And that's the other thing. I mean, Indra even says it to Octavia a few episodes ago. She's like, Octavia, come, Sky Crew was my second. Blood Raina is nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, she lays it right out there for her.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she needs to. I hope that there was a moment where Octavia says, like,
there's no more Wong Crew. I broke Wong Crew. And I felt like it was maybe not the greatest piece of dialogue ever. Like, you didn't break it. Like, come on. Like, you. But I thought it wasn't the greatest line ever, but I hope that it might be a sign that maybe the storyline will change and move next week, and we'll see something, or in the coming weeks, and we'll see something a little bit more of like the end of Wong Crew, and
well, next week
and
now.
A different orientation. I know. I don't know how they can redeem this season. There's nothing they can do next week to redeem the season for me, really. Like,
no,
what would you like
I'm,
to see
I'm,
happen
I'm,
next week?
Kane and Abby both have to die.
Yes, right?
That's
Isn't that horrible
good.
That we want the main characters to die?
I've never considered Kane and Abby to be main characters. My main characters
no.
are Clark, Bellamy, and T. Murphy. Those
yes.
are my main characters.
You're right. You're absolutely right there. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
The show's the 100. The show's the 100.
Yeah.
It's always been about the, you know, and I like last season what they tried to do with the whole, you know, putting everybody into the bunker. We were back to 100 from each clan. You know what I mean? So it's 1,300,
yeah.
Well, yeah. 1,300, yeah, 1,300 people, but, it brought the 100 back around, you know? And in that line Bellamy throws at Miller earlier in the season, so much for 100, you know? So
yeah.
it's always trying to find its roots back to 100. And after the massive red shirt disaster, you know, offing of red shirts that we just had, we might be back down to another 100. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. They've always been really what the show is about.
The adults have always been the supporting cast since the show started.
Yeah.
I think Abby and Kane got to go because their ways are what's screwing up the kids.
Every time. Like,
you know, the kids,
when they first came
the
to the ground, they were like,
yeah.
When the adults came to the ground,
yeah,
they were telling the kids what to do, and the kids were like, hello, we stayed alive down here all this time, no thanks to you, shut up kindly.
You know, the more we learn about Abby, the more we learn about what a terrible person she really is.
Yeah.
She turned her husband in, she got her daughter thrown in prison, you know,
mm-hmm.
she sent 100 kids to the ground to save her daughter because she felt guilty about sending her daughter, you know, getting her daughter locked up. You know, she comes down and, you know, she always plays these parts that are actually really bad for these people. I mean, look at poor Raven, you know? I mean, Jesus Christ, she smacks Raven over she tricks Raven into helping her and smacks Raven over the fucking head. And it's just, and then now we see the dark year. She's telling Octavia that we got to be cannibals and shoot people if they don't eat.
Yeah. There's no way a character comes back from that. Abby's horrible.
Abby's Hippocratic Oath is only viable when it's convenient for what she wants to do.
Yeah, and I really, again, I don't like the part where Abby and Kane say things like, first survive, then we get our humanity back, because it implies, first of all, where do you draw the line? Like, first we survive and then get our humanity back. Well, that doesn't how it work. Like you lose your humanity, you've lost it.
Yeah.
You don't survive and then get it back, right? And it implies that there's no line that is too far across.
Yeah, and Kane actually says that. He's like, I'm not sure I believe that anymore.
Yeah. He's like, just because I said it doesn't mean I was right. Yeah, I agree with you that I would like to see a mass killing of bad characters beyond the red shirts. And I think Abby and Kane need to go. I agree with you. And I would like to see, I mean, you know that one of the things that bothers me all along is the complete, like, marginalization of Clark, who almost single-handedly kept these people alive for 4 seasons. Right? Like, everyone's dead without Clark. If Clark didn't go to the ground, they'd all be wiped out in, like, the first 2 days by the grounders. But somehow Clark has... And the lack of respect for Clark from the other people bothers me. I get that it's in service of the story. Like, they gave Clark a new story. Clark's a mom now. And Clark is, I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, I'd like to see, I would not be unhappy if Octavia died. Really. I would be unhappy if Octavia died, in that a character that I used to really love would be gone. But her character as she exists now has got to go, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be that sad if she died. I would like to see the prisoner storyline be wrapped up, if at all possible. I don't feel like McCreary and Dioza and all that mess to another season. Like, shouldn't that be wrapped up by now?
No, that's got to be done. McCreary's going to definitely die in the finale. Hopefully Dioza.
I hope so.
But yeah.
Yeah, Dioza's not going to die because she's pregnant. And I feel like, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I feel like having a baby on this planet could be an interesting storyline that they gave to none of our characters have ever gotten pregnant, and yet they give it to Dioza as a means of, like, humanizing this horrible part. Like, I don't know that. What's going on with that? I wouldn't mind if she died. I know I shouldn't say that I don't mind if pregnant people die, but really I don't mind if this horrible pregnant character dies. Maybe she also is not ready to deliver, right? Like, she's only, like, not that many months pregnant. I feel like we're stuck with this pregnancy next season. If it doesn't get canceled, which it deserves to get canceled.
No, it's back. It's already been renewed. It was renewed a while ago.
Maybe they can fix it. Like, look at a show like Colony.
And I actually I actually read something today that said season 6 might not be the last season. They think they have enough stories for more seasons.
Really?
Not if these are the stories they're giving us.
I don't know if they have enough good stories to give us. I hope they do. All right. Well, we have ranted a little bit long on this, but we rant because we love.
Loved.
Right? Loved. We have strong feelings because this was a show that we really loved, and we're frustrated. I don't want to belabor this, but I also wouldn't mind if Miller died, because he's a giant jerk right now. Like, I don't have the patience to wait for these people to redeem themselves as characters and to get better. I just want them to be gone. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing to say about a show that I used to love. But I don't even care. Just get rid of them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it, 100. Hope you get your shit together.
I don't even know if I'm going to come back. I mean, unless something really magical happens in the finale, I'm probably not even going to bother wasting my time watching it next season. I mean, it's just, I can't. There's too much that went wrong it takes quite a bit, especially a show I love, and to piss me off to the extent this show has pissed me off. I mean, they pretty much screwed up at every turn, and really badly. And I stopped watching shows for less, but I also wasn't as invested in those shows when I stopped, watching them. I'll use Being Human as an example. I wasn't in love with that show because it was a remake. I know, it was an Americanized version of a British show we loved. I wasn't completely involved in it as I am with the 100. So when I was like, I can't do this anymore and stopped, it wasn't a big deal. This is rough.
because the product was better and you loved it more, right? It's really frustrating to have something that you love get bad. I agree with you. I don't think that I would want to watch this show in the current way it's going next season, in part because it's just bad, and in part because you don't want to watch something that you used to like be bad. Look, you stopped watching The Walking Dead long before Jamie and I were willing to give it up, in part because, I mean, well, maybe in part because you like the source material, but in part because it's just bad. And there's other to be doing with our time.
I stopped watching it because
it sucked.
Because I realized what the show was doing. I realized what the creators were doing. They didn't care about the show anymore. They cared about, you know, and I mean, obviously you do stuff to make money, but I guess it's easy, you know. Actually, it's very easy for me to say because I'm not a multi-millionaire, which all those people are that are making these decisions, doing these TV shows, you know. So actually give a shit about your audience, you know. The Walking Dead for me, nail in the coffin, was the whole hype, the build-up all season. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die. And then the last 2 seconds, it's, ha-ha, you have to wait till next season. Really? You're a show that doesn't need this cliffhanger. You're the number one rated show on TV. Why would you do this to your fans? Especially when at least 65 to 70% of your fans are comic book fans. They already know where you're going. Why do this to them? Why do this to anybody? And I mean, the backlash they got from it, you know? And then what do you do the next season? The next season after you know, your long ass hiatus, because you're only, you know, you're a short 13 to 16 episode season, so your hiatus is longer. When you do finally come back, you make us wait, what was it, 25 minutes in or something? I forget what the number was exactly, but we were like 15, 20 minutes in before they actually showed who they killed. Because we went through this whole rigmarole and everything. And then I come to find out the next day I was reading something about the ratings, how you have to watch for X amount of time for it to count. So, like, if you turn on and you watch something for 5 minutes and then change the channel, those 5 minutes you watch don't count as ratings as being watched. You have to watch for, like, 15 minutes or something for the ratings for the show to count. So it just sounds like, you know, it's more of a money ploy. You know?
Yeah, I think,
there's too much – go ahead, what you were saying.
I know what you're going to say, but I think that so there was a fundamental lack of respect for the fans in that when it went wrong with that show, which I don't think is what we're seeing. I don't think what we're seeing on The 100 is a lack of respect for the fans. I think it's just writing gone wrong, which gives them a chance to, you know, the writing to me has gone wrong. They can come back from that if they re-examine
it's two different things. You're right about that. It's definitely two different things, but you know, there's.
But I know what you were going to say. There's too much.
Too many options.
Yep. People talk about this being the golden age of television. There is no reason to not, you know, spend. I mean, in that sense, I would hope to see shows getting better. I would hope to see more discipline and more really good writing, as the competition is great for viewers to see. You know. Shows have to be on their game.
Which is ironic because some really bad shows continue to get renewed.
I know, right? How does some of this crap get renewed? Maybe networks with low standards. I don't know. All right, so next week's the season finale of The 100, huh? Is it a shorter season? This season feels really short. Was it shorter? Did they cut back this year? Or is it just my suffering?
But I think the reason we feel like it's shorter is because it was so awful. I think it's why we're just like.
Well, because really nothing happened, right? Like they got out of the bunker, and now there's a little bit of too much preparation for war, which is kind of what's been sinking The Walking Dead in a different. Walking Dead's been preparing for war for 2 years. So at least this show's been only preparing for war for like 8 episodes. But yeah, it feels like nothing really happened. So maybe that's why it feels short. But next week, maybe we can, you know, have a great, it's going to be an awesome, awesome recovery next week. It's going to be the greatest episode of The 100 ever, and we're going to be loving it again, right?
I, you know, part of me hopes so. But I don't know. It's just, it's been so bad. You got to kill at least one of the two. Kill Kane or Abby, preferably both. Kill Deosa and McCreary, fall off a cliff together. I mean, I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to Preacher because we're wasting too much time on this.
Oh, Preacher. You know what? I didn't even see Preacher. Can you? But that's okay. I don't mind hearing about Preacher or talking about Preacher.
No, sorry.
I didn't get to watch
next
it.
Week.
You sure? All right.
We'll just double up on Preacher.
I just had too much with getting back from vacation last night.
No, that's fine.
A little too much for me.
It was, you know, I'd rather wait and talk about it with you because it's a fun episode.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
I'll catch up on it for next week then.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess that's all for us. All right,
cool.
Tonight.
All right, sure
so
this week.
Talking about the 100 anyway.
I know. We need to. We spent a lot of time bitching about the show. I'll try to restrain myself next week. Okay.
So, all right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next week to talk some more Castle Rock and what else? Yeah, Winona and Killjoys and Jamie. Oh, and the Return of Fear.
Oh yeah.
And Preacher and the finale of the 100.
All right.
So basically same schedule. All right.
I'll be here.
Thank you everybody for listening as always. Karen, have a great week. And we'll talk to y'all later.
Too.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.